This season of the Lake Effect Podcast is made possible by the Randolph J. and Estelle M. Dorn Foundation.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. Today, I am in Maumee, Ohio, talking to Mario Campos at Maumee Tackle. Reason I'm here, I don't need any tackle right now, but I am interested in finding out about the walleye run that happens every year.
Sure. So we're here located here on the Maumee River. The spring walleye run is a pretty cool natural phenomenon. What happens is March and April, the Maumee River warms up a few degrees above Lake Erie. So you have that warm Maumee River water flowing into a colder Lake Erie.
Okay.
That temperature differential triggers the walleye to run up the river and spawn right here in our section of Maumee and Perrysburg.
Is that about the only time in the year that you'll find walleye in the river?
You can find walleye year-round, but in numbers.
Okay.
And big, healthy ones.
Right.
Is mostly, but you can find them. You can find a few here and there throughout the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this just for local folks?
No, we get people from all over the world. This year we've had a contingent from Czechoslovakia,
really?
Poland, yeah, a big Burma, China.
No kidding.
They're here. Malay, India, France, Portugal.
Wow.
Yeah, all over the world they come specifically to Maumee, Ohio to fish the walleye run. So we get about 15,000 out-of-towners.
No kidding.
In the months of March and April.
This
sure.
This is just a couple-mile stretch of the Maumee.
Yeah, you got about a six-mile stretch.
Okay.
If you want to spread out, have a good time. And then some people stick around for the white bass, which is, you know, in May.
Okay. They're coming to spawn also.
They're coming up to spawn, yep. They like the warmer water. So walleye like 45, under 50-degree water temperature. The white bass like it a little over 50 degrees. So as the water warms over 50, the walleye head out, the white bass come in. They're a ton of fun.
All right. What are people using when they're fishing for walleye in general?
So walleye, the predominant lure right now is a Carolina rig. So it's a trolling sinker with about a 5-foot monofilament leader. And then a floating jig head with or without a twister tail at the end of it. What that does is it bounces on the bottom, and it puts that bait about a foot off the bottom right in the face of those spawning walleye.
Right.
So whether they're biting out of hunger for a snack, agitation, defending their spawning territory, nobody knows. Everybody has their own theory. But.
Right. I've been on the river during the spawn, and it can be pretty crowded. Can you go down there and just do your own program and do whatever you want, or do you have to be part of a system?
People are sheep, all right? So they herd up. If one guy's in the river and he catches a fish, it turns into 500. I make plenty of videos on our page that I'll go out to my quote-unquote secret location, which is pretty much any stretch of river where there's nobody, and I'll catch walleye.
Right.
And I'll say, hey, everybody's complaining about the crowds. Come right here. I'll give the location and come catch some fish. I'll come back the next day. Hey, did anybody go there? No. Well, why didn't you go to my secret location that I broadcast? Well, nobody else was there. Okay. So the only reason people fish in a crowd is because they want to.
Right. When it comes to people on the water, most people are waiting, but I've seen plenty of boats in the river, usually smaller boats.
Right. 16-foot John boat is just about right.
Okay.
You know, 16, 18, 19-foot is perfect for the river. It allows you to tuck up in some of the areas, get some places. You can bounce two or three places relatively quickly, whereas if you're waiting, you're kind of stuck in one spot for a little bit. But, even the guys from shore, I fish a lot from shore. Because I don't have a lot of time to run down there and gear up.
Right.
And we do pretty good. So when they're in there, they're in thick.
Now, when it comes to wading, the fish are coming into the river when the water's running pretty good, when the water's up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of safety situations come into play? Because we've all seen plenty of stories of waders and people in boats getting into trouble.
Sure. When that water can be moving fast, Your legs get cold and tired. So first and foremost, don't go alone. Take a buddy or at least let somebody know where you're going to be. The river in this part of this stretch of the river is real rocky, brushy, a lot of logs, branches, everything. Trip over your own feet.
Right.
So it's easy to fall in.
Hidden obstacles.
Hidden obstacles,
right.
Yeah. We have a little joke here at the shop. We call it the Maumee River Swim Team. And there's only one way to join, and it's tough. It's tough, but there's thousands of us that have fallen in, and it's just you have to move slowly. Have to move slowly. That's a thing, and be cautious.
When it rains good and the water's up and it's fast, that's conducive for the walleye coming in. But at the same time, it's a little bit tricky for waders.
Sure.
When it comes to wading on the Maumee, is it better to be a follower than a leader?
Oh, absolutely. Let the tall guy go first. Sacrifice a little bit, right? but one thing, when it rains and the water comes up and it's fast and moving, the walleye are animals. We have to keep that in mind. So that river's moving really fast. Another fisherman's instinct that's often wrong is that you have to cast as far as you can. Man, if I could cast 2 more feet, I know that's where the big ones are. Not true. When that water's up and moving, most of the fish are 4 to 5 feet right off the shore.
Right.
So those guys that are out there waiting, they're standing in the fish. The guys that know, when the water's up and moving, they'll stand on the shore, flip their line out about 5-6 feet, and catch fish all day long, right on the shore.
So you're saying getting as far into the river as you can is often an illusion.
Exactly. Exactly.
I believe there's a very intense law enforcement presence during the spawn.
Sure.
And I believe you could be on the river fishing and actually be fishing next to a wildlife officer also fishing. Is that the case?
Oh yeah, yeah. They that dirty old man that looks like he's poaching. Good chances are he's DNR, you know, undercover. Got the little earpiece, the cute little blonde that pretends like she doesn't know what she's doing, catching fish in the belly. She's DNR. The drone floating overhead. He's not taking pictures of fun walleye fishing. They're scoping out for poachers.
Right.
And which they should do. People are greedy. There's no need to take more than 6 fish. And there's plenty of fish. Once you get the feel for it, you can catch them in the mouth like you're supposed
to. Is that the no-no? Not catching a fish in the mouth?
Right. Snagging a fish in any other part of the body other than inside the mouth.
Right.
Now, I know a lot of your listeners, well, I heard that as long as it's near the mouth. I heard, no. There's a rule book. The rules are specifically in the rule book. If you haven't read the rule book, what you heard is probably wrong.
Metro Parks is involved, obviously, in parking enforcement and helping things go smoothly when there are literally several thousand people on the river and on the banks. They got some signs up sometimes, don't they, about whether you should wade across to Bluegrass Island or this other place?
Sure.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's a place, a little island called Bluegrass Island, and to cross over it typically is about a 1 to 2 foot deep to cross over. But the water comes up. We use our gauge. We have a gauge 582 feet above sea level is about normal / safe wading to get over to Bluegrass Island.
Okay.
Yeah, 582. When it gets over that, I'll make a post on our website, hey, don't cross, and by the same thing, the Metro Parks will put a sign up. And those guys are pretty good. They got a good eye for it. Most of them, the rangers, have been doing it pretty good.
Right.
So we'll be out there at 5:30 in the morning. Chopping it up, consulting, taking a look at the river.
You've got a contest called the Big Jack Contest.
Yeah.
What is that?
During the walleye run, each week we run the Big Jack Contest. Now, a jack is a male walleye.
Could you have bigger fish if you had a...
The big hen?
Females, too?
The big female? Yeah, those could be, man, 10, 12 pounds.
Why not,
some monsters.
Why not a big hen?
A lot of guys don't like to keep them, and you're allowed to, otherwise the rule wouldn't be there. But it's more fun with the big jack because, man, when you catch a 7-pound jack, you're getting close to record books.
Right.
You know?
So it's a conservation thing.
Yeah, there's some conservation put in. You know, I don't think hook and line fishermen really put a dent in the population. You know, those females, by the time it gets, you know, over 10 pounds, that's a 9 to 12-year-old fish.
Right.
You know, I think it's kind of cool to leave them in there. That's just me.
In the area, during the spawn, there are, I guess what I'd call them is pop-up bait and tackle trailers and some pop-up fish cleaning places.
Yeah, those places are called The Competition. I'm joking. There's a bunch of good dudes out there. There's old Clarence down there by the river. He's been there since they filled the river up with water.
I've talked to him in the past.
Yep.
And what are they selling? Bait and tackle?
Yeah, bait and tackle. Okay. Same thing. You know, a couple odds and ends. The guys can run out, grab a couple sinkers. Yeah, I know those guys. Some of them clean fish right there on the river. We have a fish cleaner here in our parking lot. And just a good bunch of dudes. It's a convenience thing. Run out of the river, grab a couple weights, right back in there.
When people come in here, what's the number during the spawn? What's the number one or two things that people grab?
They're grabbing a lot of. I don't want to say you have to have a specific rod, but you need a heavier duty rod.
Right.
Because that current's up and moving. So even if you only catch like a 2-pound fish, it's pulling 10, 12 pounds worth of force on that. So you need a good, stiff, medium heavy action rod. And then the other thing is the trolling sinkers and the floating jig heads.
Right.
Which are kind of specific to this river. It's a little niche that we use here for baits. So we keep those on hand. And some good advice and fish stories.
Right. Mm-hmm. On Lake Erie, when you're talking about baits, there are literally thousands and thousands of patterns.
Yep.
Are there just a couple colors that are favored here on this river?
We kind of use a light and dark phase gauge. When it's a bright day, go with the bright color, like a pink, yellow, green. If it's a dark day, go with those dark colors, dark motor oil, purple, black.
Okay.
Why is that? Something like that. They see, the walleye see differently. They're nocturnal, thus the term walleye. They have... You know, their eyes are, and the spring rules, you're not allowed to fish at night because they're so active at night.
Right.
So the different colors, they see bright colors better on bright days. They see dark colors better on dark days.
Okay, that makes sense. Mario, do you ever have people that come in here that have never fished before? They walk in your shop and they say, hey, what do I need and what
do I do? Absolutely. Yeah, thousands of people come in, beginner's luck.
That just are not fishermen.
Right. Yeah. A lot of rookies, a lot of newbies. And everyone that works for me has experience out on the river. We have little classes that we give, so to speak. Yeah, there's no time frame, but we kind of wait until we have two or three people, which is, you know, a couple times an hour. And we'll gather everybody together.
A couple times an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
During the spawn?
During the spawn, we'll get thousands of people a day.
And you just go right over down the road here?
No. We do it in the shop.
Oh, okay.
Just a quick demo.
I see.
This is what you need. This is what you're going to be doing. This is what you're feeling.
Okay.
With moderate success, you know, because a lot of people have never fished, period, and they want to show up. So,
okay.
But it gets them going. And with doing it without, you know, we want people to catch fish. We don't want to clean out their wallet.
Right.
So, our motto is our goal is your fishing success. And we found we have more fun. The business thrives if we're honest with people, give them good fishing advice.
Right.
Help them catch some fish and they come back
with
their families and stuff like that. So it's better to give good, honest advice. Fish aren't biting, I'll tell you, they're not biting, man. Go home.
There's a run on the river in Fremont also. It's not as big. It's not as popular. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, the Sandusky River that runs through Fremont, Ohio, there it's a little more shallow, so it warms faster.
Right.
So the walleye will come in to the Sandusky River, run through Fremont before they show up here.
Okay.
It's a little closer to Lake Erie, and it warms faster. By the same token, they warm up faster, so they leave sooner, and the white bass come in there faster. One of the great things about our area is the Toledo and the Wood County Metro Parks. We have so much public access. Public access in Fremont's a little restricted compared to
it
us.
It definitely is.
Yeah, we have wide open spaces here in the Maumee, so that's a blessing for us here.
Now, Mario, speaking of wide open spaces along the river, I believe you guys may do something with kayaks also.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting ready to transition here. It's fishing from a kayak's great because you can tuck yourself into that little corner that you've been eyeballing for the last 5 years. Like, oh, I know that's a good spot, but it's only 8 inches deep over there. Kayak, you could scoot over there and, you know, have a nice peaceful day on the river catching some fish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you were just going to go fishing. Is that the case?
You caught me on the way out. That's right.
I'm glad I did.
I'm going to run out. I'm going to try and tag a couple white bass real quick. We do a lot of informational videos for our website and our Facebook page. So one of the little mantras is no picture, no fish. I can say the fish are biting, but if I can't show a picture of one, come on. You know, because here's the thing, James. All fishermen are liars, except for me.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So when you go out today, after you leave here, walk out the door, you're going to make a video.
I'm going to try. If I catch a fish,
okay.
If I don't catch a fish, it will be overwhelming silence.
So I see how it is. If you catch a fish, you're going to make a video.
That's
but
it.
But you're not going to make a video saying you didn't catch any
fish. There are some,
kind of shady.
There are some videos of Mario getting skunked.
Okay. Well, okay. Maybe
there.
Maybe you are honest.
There are some videos of that. Yeah.
Mario, during the height of the season or when it's just getting started, people go to your website a lot for information about the river levels, any fish coming in. Is that the case?
Yep.
Is that the go-to place to
find
out what's going on?
MommyTackle.net.
Okay.
Just click on the river report. And like you said, James, I put the water levels, temperature, clarity, barometric pressure. Pay attention to that barometric pressure, people. It's a...
What is that?
That is the atmospheric pressure on us and the water. Without going into it too much, if you study up a little bit on the barometric pressure, you can pick and choose when you're going to go out and have some really successful fishing days.
So it's got an effect on fish activity.
Absolutely. Yeah, barometric pressure, moon phase, all that. You know, the old folks do know what they're talking about a little bit on that stuff.
I believe it. Thank you so much for this interesting and much needed information for anybody that might be interested in hitting either river, really. And hopefully one day I will see you somewhere around the lake.
Hey, sounds good, James. Appreciate it. We'll see you.
Thanks for joining me for this edition of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. To hear more, go to wgte.org/lakeeffect, and I hope to see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us. This season of the Lake Effect Podcast is made possible by the Randolph J. and Estelle M. Dorn Foundation.